But tonight, I'm really happy to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Ariella McCarthy. She has spoken here before. She's a wonderful speaker, and her book is The Power of the Possible, which is also available on CD. And tonight, Ariella will be speaking about The Paradox of Relationships. Thank you so much for coming back to Many Rivers. It's good to see you again.
Thank you so much for coming. One of my favorite places, if not the favorite place to speak, is this store. It's my third time. So I was looking forward to it. Has anybody been here before? Great. So, where to start? I was thinking what to talk about today, and my eye fell on the magnet that I had on the refrigerator. And I bought it because I loved what it was saying, but I couldn't read it without glasses. So I put it on the refrigerator and promptly forgot about it. And so this morning I was drawn to, what is it? Because I put it up. And I read it and I so loved it. And I thought, Rilke said it way better than I can ever say it. So I'll start with this. I beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart. And try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the question now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer.
Rumi.
Rilke. Isn't it beautiful?
Beautiful.
So beautiful. And how we insist on getting the answer now. Tell me what to do. And usually we don't just insist, usually we know. Mostly, we are not right. So I'll give you another quote. Another quote. Before you hear my quotes by T.S. Eliot. Because it echoes this, just says it differently. And that's a quote before the chapter that's called Hitting Bottom. I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope. For hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be light, and the stillness the darkness. Almost need a pause after that. Why I thought I would start with these. It's no news to anyone. We live in a difficult time, in a most exciting time, in a very turbulent time, and the time of chaos. Everything is changing. You hear it everywhere. Some people know what they're talking about, some people don't. I don't think anybody really quite is able to comprehend the immensity of the shift that's happening. But one thing is the shift in consciousness. We're literally becoming different species. That's the extent of the shift we're living through. So of course it's turbulent. Of course it's not an easy ride. But one thing is abundantly clear, and I think you will agree with me, that the old ways don't work anymore. The old knee-jerk fight or flight, hide, have sex, reproduce, maybe works for a while, but doesn't really solve anything. And trying to get other people to change never really solved anything, because it never worked. We never succeeded, but we have not stopped trying. At least the great majority has not stopped trying, and not because they're stupid, not because they're stubborn, because it's simply knee-jerk. It's simply the path of the least resistance, very well-worn path, and we're so sure that we know what the other person needs to do in order to change. And unless they do, we cannot be happy. And unless they get it, we're not going to let go. And it looks way too simple, doesn't it? And with this comes the need for simple answers. And simple answers are very hard, because we don't live in simple times. And we are not simple. Perhaps in the olden days, simple answers could work, but we're way too complex as beings, as human beings, to get a simple answer. That's why you're often staying with the question and developing patience with yourself and with life is the answer, but it's a challenge. It's the hardest thing to do. So I've been talking about this for 3 years. Ever since the book came out. But during the 3 years, I'm learning deeper and more how true this is, how we really can only change ourselves. So what is the secret that's been hidden in the plain sight? Nothing changes until we do. Okay, got it. But like each and every truth appears simple, appears, oh, I understand that, I need to change them, you know, have what I want. What's on TV now? I already got it. It is so deep, that simple truth. It's miles and miles deep, and if you just sit with it, looking back at your life, and at all the times where things didn't work, and all the areas in life where things are still not working the way we would like them to, there's one common denominator. Who is that? We. It's us. So, but the truth is, how do you do it? How do you change? And again, there is no simple answer. There are techniques to get there that should have been taught, you know, in early years in school, emotional clarity techniques, how to deal with things, but never were. And people who were supposed to teach us had no idea. We're basically the first generation that are beginning to have a glimpse. So it's not surprising. And blaming doesn't work either. Isn't that the darndest thing? Oh gosh. And the worst is that in the past you get together with your friends and you start blaming and blaming and blaming the government. Blaming the government is, oh God, blame Bush, blame the government. That was so juicy. And then blame the husband or the wife or the boyfriend and the parents. It happened to me when I was 3. And didn't you hear that? Let me tell you, how many hours do you have? And blame them, blame. And excuse and explain it by that. And during this time, maybe get a little bit of perceived relief. But really perceived only because it was just a hit, a cheap hit of power that never lasted. Well, now it doesn't work anymore. If you haven't noticed, pay attention and you will notice. It doesn't work, it's boring. You're beginning to be bored with yourself. Nobody wants to hear. 2-3 minutes and enough already. And it, and it brings us nowhere. So, back to the beginning. We have to change, and that is a challenge. And it starts with accepting that there is something in me that perhaps I'm missing, perhaps just blaming yourself or judging yourself doesn't work, just it doesn't, like it doesn't work for any others. It starts with beginning to accept ourselves and learning how to be kind and gentle to ourselves and to learn how to forgive. And that is probably harder than anything else. You think, what's so hard? What's so hard about forgiving? You won't be able to forgive yourself or anybody else if you won't let yourself feel remorse. And remorse is the scariest thing for human beings to feel. And that is a very fascinating thing to really ponder. I mean, why? But it is. And rather than feel remorse and go into the depth of pain, and then find out of this compassion for yourself and kindness and ability to forgive, and it just probably will happen automatically, and we block it off. And how often in my work with private clients, people tell me, I don't want to open the Pandora's box. Familiar? I don't want to go there because I just am so terrified of opening the Pandora's box. And I always say, don't kid yourself. The Pandora's box has not been closed. It's open. It's just inside of you, and it's poisoning you, and it's eating you alive. And now and then it erupts. So if you ever thought that, or had that thought, you heard someone say it, question it. Pandora's box can only be aired out, released. You keep a lid on it, it becomes like a pressure cooker. And just by, you know, if it's like I said, it's open, but suppose it's tightly closed, it rumbles inside. It shakes you up. And out of that, life doesn't work. Illness, successes becoming unraveled, all kinds of things. So, but I don't want to dwell on the negative. I want to dwell on the positive. Which brings us to the next thing I wanted to mention. How often do we hear, just focus on the positive, just stay with the positive. And it is true. This is the truth. It's correct. Except very often, it is very difficult. If there is stuff inside that is unresolved, untouched, unlooked at, denied, we can continue. It's going to be incredibly hard to focus on the positive all day long. So it's a paradox, because we need to focus on positive, but we also need to look inside and start healing. So why I'm talking about that, was the topic was the paradox of relationships. Everything is relationship. Relationship with yourself comes first. Relationship with life, relationship with the one and only, if you have one, or if it didn't work out, or you're afraid to go and try it again, that's a relationship. Relationship with the one that you love, your partner in life, that there are difficulties in. What's the nature? Usually, we want them to change, and we want them to get it. And that means my way. Have you heard? You can have everything if you just get out of your way. It's the truth. It's another one that's very complex. Appears very simple. How do you get out of your way? I have discovered that you can do so much more meditatively, working with yourself, working with the person that can guide you, if you have one, rather than going and confronting. How often have you been told, communicate. Communicate with each other. Another truth. Yes. But if you don't know how to communicate, you'll most probably butcher it and make things worse. So, communicate, yes. But when you're clear, when you don't have a charge, when you don't try to get them to get what you're saying, but how do you do it? my son, who is married, asked me, no, I was there, they're in New York, and he says to me, no, his wife said to me, Arthur always waits for when everything is wonderful, and then he brings something up. Is that familiar? And I said, well, that's exactly how not to do it. And I was such shock in his face. Then when? Well, then when? It will be organic, and you will know when. You have to be clear. You can't have the charge. Because if you're waiting for the right time, oh, now's the right time. Everything's happy. We're having a wonderful evening. Now's the right time. The moment you decide, oh, now I'm going to talk, when am I going to say, how I'm going to start, da, 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 immediately, you're no longer neutral. You're no longer neutral. Now you already have the agenda. Once you have the agenda, you know the connection. The connection is immediate. With people that we're close with, you don't have to say a thing. You can just sit there and be silent and unhappy, or put a smiling face and still be unhappy. They get it. They know. So the moment you start, okay, this is the right time, the other person is already worried, doesn't know why. And then he says, there's something we need to talk about. Immediately. Right? Why? What? What? Are you leaving me? Did I do something wrong? What happened? That's it. It's not going to be successful. Or it's going to be hard. So, what to do? Don't wait. Clear it with yourself. Feel your feelings. Get to the neutral. Find your answers on your own or with help. And only then, you will know when the right time will be because you will just say it. And very often, you will find out that you don't need to say anything because the problem is gone. Very often, through that process, you have changed. I'll tell you a quick story. A friend of mine, a client of mine, rather, came to me one of the times. I see her once a week. And it was just a nightmare between her and her daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law is in her 30s and she's in her 50s. She is the daughter of her husband, second marriage. Couldn't get along. It was awful. And the husband, who's the father of this girl, really loves his daughter and loves his wife. And it was a big problem. And we sat in the room and she closed her eyes. And without leaving the room, without picking up the phone, without moving, through a meditative process, connected to that girl and had a conversation with her. This is actually simple. This is a simple process that I teach. And I'm not the only one. But basically, she communicated her feelings. During that, it was safe. She would always open her eyes. She was safe. While talking, she realized how wrong she was in many ways. She apologized. The girl responded. She's sitting with her eyes closed. The girl responded. Yes, the girl responded. You hear it as a form of thought, but you are not making it up. It is actually happening. And I'm sure that it doesn't seem too incredulous to you because you wouldn't come to listen to me. You wouldn't be in that bookstore. But anyway, the girl responded, and they had an exchange, and they came to peace. And she opened her eyes. She felt much better. She came home. Within a couple of days, she got a telephone call from her daughter-in-law, who was in Hawaii. And it's a true story, and it's very recent. I have so many stories of that. But it's just very recent. That's why it's so fresh for me. And she called her, and she said, I just wanted to tell you that I love you. No reference to, they hated each other. No reference to, you know, I'm really sorry, or whatever. I just want to tell you that I love you. Her heart melted, of course. She goes, oh, thank you. Is that why you're calling? Yes, it's the only reason why I'm calling. Just felt like calling and telling you. Then, next week, they came back to the Bay Area, came to visit. First thing, she enters the house. She goes, finds the woman, her mother-in-law, and hugs her. And holds her.
and does not let go, can't speak without a single word. Well, guess what? The mother-in-law who did that meditation forgot that she did it. And she was not even connecting these two events. She was just very, very happy. So they held each other for the longest time and just let go. Relationship was completely transformed. A miracle, in a way, but not really. Not really. This is something that should have been taught when we were 7 and 5 years old. And throughout. It would be like, it has to... What I'm doing with people is I'm trying to give them techniques that they would become so... they'd be so used to them. Like, you know, in the morning you wake up, you brush your teeth, right? You take a shower. You drink your coffee, or you don't drink your coffee. You have your, you know, protein drink. Automatic. The same. Something happens. Instead of screaming, you ground yourself. You know I need to get by myself. You know I need to do this. Like, automatic. So knee-jerk responses become different knee-jerk responses. But that takes discipline. That takes really wanting to learn. But it's possible. And it's possible. And so I just wanted to inspire you a little bit with this story. Since we don't have a lot of time, I will... What I want to do is I'll read to you a couple of things, and then maybe we'll have questions. And I have a few exciting announcements to make. Any questions so far? We can do questions later, unless something is really pertinent.
Just what kind of work do you do when you work with clients?
I work with healing core issues, and it's very fast, and you don't have to spend 10 years. Very often people come to me that have already been in therapy for a number of years and done all kinds of workshops, and they're ready. And very often they have not done any work, and it doesn't really matter, because there doesn't need to be any prerequisite except I want to change. You have to be in a place where you are ready to look inside and maybe entertain that you have something to do with what's going on.
And you're here?
I'm in Santa Rosa. Oh. Mm-hmm. And also in Tiburon. So I will address this in the end. Thanks for asking. So it's one-on-one, and it's just basically, it's talking, seeing where it is, and then going inside and undoing it. Nobody can heal us but ourselves. People say, I'm going to touch you or do this amazing healer. And yes, the healer can do it. We won't let it. We'll bring it back. And there's a reason for that. We want to grow. And even if the weaker part of us says, no, just heal me, just take it out of me, the bigger part of us won't allow it. We didn't shed all these tears and bled, and we didn't go through everything we went through just without learning something from it. It was for a reason. So let's go the last mile of this and just heal it so that you will know I did it and I know how. Not just somebody, a friend of mine, when she was beginning, this is all metaphysics, but metaphysics is beginning to be mainstream today. It's the spiritual path through metaphysics. She once said, she was talking to her higher self, and she said, I give you carte blanche. Just take it out. And the answer came very clear, and she said, I could never make it up. I don't want your carte blanche. I said, oh, I don't need your carte blanche. I mean, it's true. But it's fun. No, it's really fun, because we start waking up and things... It's a different time. In the past, we could stay suffering and martyring ourselves and being in self-pity, and it would be okay. Life would just be kind of gray. Today, try to do it. And everything starts falling apart. Practice is over. It's that fast manifestation. Switch to being positive, and suddenly things start working out. I give you two quick, very easy techniques. Not so easy to... Not simple, but easy. And then I'll read. I was asked often when the book came out, which is going to be 3 years in January, I did a lot of interviews at the time, and I was always asked the same question. what on the radio mostly, what would you tell people how they can get happy right now if they just want to become happy quickly? So I had to think. And that is what I came up with, and I think this is really, it's correct. First, I have to check whether you feel you're unhappy. Check and be honest with yourself. Nobody has to know. Between you and you. Am I feeling sorry for myself? Because it's like a swamp. And it's going to suck you in. And it's also a balm, an anesthetic that anesthetizes you from feeling whatever is going on. So you don't really feel angry or hurt or anything, you just feel falling asleep. So if you catch that, yes, I am feeling sorry for myself, it's very liberating. You don't like it, but it's amazing. When you see something about yourself that you don't like and you really see it's there, it's very liberating because you can change it. You can just stop it. And the next, and maybe you're not, but that's the first thing to check. Basically, it very often will be, get out of the self-pity and focus on something you can be grateful for. That'll take you out. It will take all of a minute, if not less. And that works every time. And everyone has something to be grateful for. And a lot. Look where we live. You know, we could be living in a very different place. But the things we don't like about the country compared to other places. We have freedom. I'm a naturalized citizen. I have a different view. I have a perspective that many people don't have because they lived in the Soviet Union. I know what it is not to have freedom. And if this is too lofty, you're drinking a wonderful coffee, be grateful for the cup warming your hand. You know? Look outside, the beautiful sky. You can always find things to be grateful for. And you'll immediately switch. You'll be in a different place. So, since we were talking about how to stop... another thing I have to tell. Keep remembering. I was once speaking at the Left Coast Writers Salon, and where I'm a member of, and it was in the book Passage. I was talking to the writers, just sharing about publishing a book and so on. In the end, a woman comes to me and she says, I heard you when your book came out, and you spoke here as well, but you talked about your book, and there was one thing you said that I have not forgotten, and I keep thinking about it, it's changed everything for me. I said, what did I say? And she said, you said this, even if you are right, so what? And think about it, because it makes a lot of people just, what do you mean? You mean so what? What is the real priority whenever it is that we're so sure we're right? Is the real priority to win this fight or this argument? To overpower? To convince so that the other one just either capitulates or is licking their wounds or placating you or whatever, or maybe agreeing but reluctantly. Look back at the times when that happened. Did you get any closer? Was there more intimacy when you really proved that you were right? Did you feel safe with each other? Very important. So what is the real... No, you didn't. No, because I've done it so many times. You know, I know of what I speak. And the urge is not going to disappear, but you can catch it. You can catch it instantly before it even formulates. Because you have the power. You have the power to choose how to be. And if you deny it, then you don't have the power. Then that part will take over. Because you're giving your power away to your ego then. So basically... what is the real priority? And we're so sure, talking to that most important person in our lives, or maybe your child, or your parent, aging parent, all important people, a dear friend. What is the more important? Do they get what you're saying, or that you are get closer and safer with each other, and more intimate with each other? The real priority is only one, love. That's the real, the only priority, basically. Because sometimes You just see they're not going to hear you. They can't hear you. We all have filters. Everybody has filters. Everyone. Through which we hear and see. So if they're in their pain, they're not going to hear. So what's the point? Just back off or maybe don't even go there. That's why, even if you're right, so what? Would you want to wake up with in the morning being right one more time? Or somebody you love? No, and if it doesn't work, then you have to give yourself the truthful answer and act accordingly, if you can. But that's trying to convince is not going to be... Everybody here knows it, I'm sure. Who hasn't tried it many a time? So I'm going to... This is the hardest thing for me to know what to read, but this is what I think I'm going to read to you. So the book, if you're not familiar with the book is two stories. It's two stories that happen to people, different circumstances. Each time the hero hits bottom, literally hits rock bottom, nothing works. Nothing works. There are two stories, the names are changed. Geographical locations are changed to protect privacy. Everything else is very close. And through hitting bottom, they basically, something happens. They're forced to let go. And they let go for real. Because letting go cannot be done. People say, how do you let go? You just let go. And very often, unfortunately, we do it when we hit rock bottom. And then miracles happen in each story, but it's all true. And then after you read the story, I give the explanation so it makes very logical sense. Spiritual, metaphysical, and logical. I'm always told that I'm a mystic with both feet planted in the ground of common sense. And that's true. If it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to go. But it does make sense. So this is just a little snippet that actually happened. And the chapter is all about love. The name of the chapter, All About Love. The quote before the chapter is by Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. A good friend of mine, I'll call her Marilyn, stopped by one day for a cup of coffee. And sure enough, before we knew it, we were deeply involved in a conversation discussing the right and wrong way of being in a relationship. After all, I was writing a book about it, wasn't I? So that was a few years ago. So often, when we're absolutely convinced we're right, we are not that right at all, I said. Really? Marilyn raised her eyebrows. My friend is an open-minded woman. She's always eager to learn, always ready to hear a different perspective. Her relationship of 2 years had recently ended, and though she was okay with it by then, the wounds had not yet fully healed. The memories of fights with her ex-fiancé were still fresh. She would relive them again and again in her mind, wondering if there was something she could have done differently. Was there another way? She'd ask herself, arriving each time at the same answer. No, she had been right. She had handled it correctly. She was making sure her needs were met. And no, she wasn't selfish or unreasonable. It was her boyfriend who had been stubborn and childish, while she was simply self-respecting. So what you're saying is when we're sure we're right, we're actually wrong? She asked. Yes, I said. Not wrong as an absolute, but certainly not right. I knew I needed to explain myself. Give me an example, I said. Give me an example of a situation in your relationship in which there is no question in your mind that you were right. Can be something seemingly minor. It really doesn't matter. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Marilyn chuckled. Oh, that's easy, she said. How about this one? He moves in with me. And you know, my place is very small. I have to go through the kitchen to get to my office. Now, both of us are working from home, he and I. And he would not wash the dishes after himself. Every time I went through the kitchen or into the kitchen, I would see his dirty dishes in the sink. And it was driving me crazy. I can't stand dirty dishes. It upsets me. I never leave dishes unwashed and out there in the sink.
I asked him again and again to not do it, to wash them after he's eaten, so I don't have to look at his mess and be irritated. I asked him nicely. I joked about it. I asked him seriously. I explained to him why I needed it. I got very angry, and still he would not do it. Now, it was my place. He moved in with me. Who did he think I was? His mother? She caught herself and stopped. It's water under the bridge now. But don't you think I was right about it? What do you think? She was right, right? What did he say to you? I asked. Why wouldn't he do it? He said it interrupted his flow. He liked to get back to work immediately after eating and that he would wash everything in the evening. In the meantime, I was not supposed to pay attention to such small things. She was getting anxious, just remembering that time. I put my hand on her knee. Look, I said, I just read about the process that Byron Katie suggested in her book, Loving What Is. I think it's brilliant. Would you like to try it? Sure, Marion said, sure. So tell me again, how it made you feel when he wouldn't do his dishes, I said. Oh, I felt angry. I felt like as if he didn't care about me, like it didn't matter what I needed. It didn't matter at all, and that he did not respect me. If he respected me, he would never treat me this way. Never. I felt he treated me as if I were his mother, not his equal partner. She stopped and took a deep breath. Yes, that's how I felt every time I passed through that kitchen. I waited. But she seemed suddenly exhausted. Anything else? I asked. Well, that pretty much sums it up. Okay, I said. Now tell me something. Think about it and tell me. What was you felt really true? She paused. I could see her face changing. With her eyes closed, she was reliving her experience one more time, looking at it from a different angle. No, she said finally. It's not true. I don't think he thought that at all. I could see she was amazed, startled perhaps by what she had just said. She was looking at her hands, waiting for what I had to say next. All right, I said, let's go back again. When you thought he didn't respect you or care about you, how did it make you feel? Marilyn looked up. How did it make me feel? I was angry. I was so angry I couldn't breathe. I'm feeling her anger. I was unhappy. I was irritated. I would look at him at his desk working, and the kitchen was full of his dirty dishes, and I would be just fuming inside. Good, I said. Now we know what you felt, and we know what your thoughts were. And we know what you thought were his reasons for not washing the dishes. And we also know it wasn't true. So now, let's turn it around. You thought he did not respect you, didn't care about you, and treated you as if you were his mother, not his equal partner. Take this and turn it around. Turn it into an opposite. Marilyn concentrated. I could see her mind working, turning things around. Suddenly, her voice dropped and she almost whispered, "You mean turn it all around?" Yes, I said. Say it out loud. What she said then stunned us both. I didn't respect him, she said. I thought he was immature. I didn't care about what was important to him. Oh, my God. She covered her eyes with her hands. I treated him as if he were a child, not a man. I did not respect him. I didn't. I was mean. I would diminish him. I would make him so small. She couldn't talk. I pulled her towards me and held her as she cried. I never saw it before, she whispered. I could see it was hard for her to speak. I'm so sorry, Nick. I am so sorry. She moved away from me, reaching for the Kleenex and put it to her face. He was so tender, so loving, so young in many ways. And yes, I believed he was too immature. And it bothered me. I was even getting bored. I needed to leave the house to just be by myself and feel good again sometimes. I've always been very independent and responsible, and I didn't think he was. I didn't know how to tell him, so I got angrier and angrier. I knew it couldn't work between us. We were too different, and I didn't want to admit it to myself, so I punished him. She put her hand to her chest. It is so painful to see it, but I feel like something is releasing right here. She pointed to her heart, where her hand was resting. I can't believe it. I never saw it. I was so sure it was him. I took her hand in mine and held it. It hurts so much to see it, but it's as if we just lanced a boil. And now it can heal. Now you can let go. Forgive yourself and let go.
Quiet.
Okay, a couple of before we go to the questions, I want to just make a couple of announcements. You're living this in your head. We'll talk more. I just want to distribute because you asked me something I was going to talk about. There is a wonderful place in Santa Rosa, Healing Flower Acupuncture. And it is expanding and becoming well-being and longevity place where Healing Flower Acupuncture will continue with various services and also we'll be doing evenings on healing where you can just come and experience forgiving or understanding something that you never thought about. Very often, a lot of the things we take for granted and never question actually are completely the opposite. So, it'll be something that you will enjoy, I'm sure. And it's donation basis, you can just come anytime you want. If you would like to get information, just fill, never give email to anybody. And the last time people on my list heard from you was last December. So, I'm in fact getting emails now and then asking what happened to you. Everything all right. So, don't worry about it. But if you'd like to have information, just fill it and then I will be sending you information. And this is just to invite you, because we're doing two evenings of love and healing at the Healing Flower Longevity and Wellbeing Center in Santa Rosa. And two evenings, one on November the 18th, it's a Thursday night, and one on Monday, November the 21st. We'll talk about forgiveness and the controversy of it and why it has nothing to do with the people that hurt us and everything to do with us and how it has nothing to do with reconciliation either. So one you feel and return to me if you like, and the other one you keep. And now I'm ready for questions. Right. Please ask something.
She said,
yeah.
Go ahead. She mentioned forgiveness has nothing to do with reconciliation.
Yes, it is. It's nothing to do with reconciliation. It's a misunderstanding, misconception. Because you don't have to ever reconcile with people who you're forgiving. It's purely for you, so that you can be free. So you don't have to carry them on your back. And if you want to reconcile after that, sometimes people do, then you will. If you don't, then don't even need to know. Very often people think, I have to wait until they apologize or at least acknowledge what they did to me. Only you can wait for the rest of your life and be at sufferance of the pain. It's totally, come to the evening. Just come. We'll do the same thing. It's never the same because the audience dictates it, but it's along the same lines. And we'll talk deeper about it and then take everyone on the very profound, very healing, very loving experience that is done in meditation. And nobody lives untouched by that, even if you fall asleep. It still happens. you won't touch anything.
I think it says in the write-up about it, something about would you rather be happy or be right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could expand on that a little more. I think you were kind of talking about that.
Yes. Well, because proving your point is not really the point. You want to... the whole evening was about it. Can you ask a little more specifically? Why do you want to be right? Why is it so important?
I was very taken by that because there are I have a relationship in where I also feel that the person I'm with is immature mm-hmm. and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a tendency to feel right about things that he says mm-hmm. things that he doesn't think, and it bothers me because I like to think. And when I saw that, I said, I realize how often I express things, and I'm contemplating whether or not if I just give that up, it doesn't matter. When you say that, about so what?
Give up what?
Give up trying to make things so that they're right, correcting all of that.
Try that. Try that.
Yeah.
What is
it?
I sincerely recommend. We need to have humility.
Yeah.
We need to really teach ourselves how to see every situation and every moment as if it's for the first time. But when you're with the person that you're living with, and there's already built an expectation of him or her acting a certain way, responding a certain way, and there's already a built-in judgment there. He doesn't have space. When you let go, maybe he's not the right person to be with. Maybe he's totally right when you let go, but right now you can't see it because it's blocking that need. Just let go and step aside and look at yourself and come with kindness. Kindness is the answer to everything. You think he doesn't think? Maybe he thinks differently. Maybe he thinks in a different way. You know what? It is official that men and women are different species. We speak the same, we use the same words, but we speak different languages. It's also official. So it's part of learning and growing. You know, perhaps what appears to the soul is not really so. Get the book. Every story is about that.
I do have the book. I read it.
Oh, okay.
Book. Last time you were here, I bought the book and I read it.
Let me read it again. Because I read it too. I channeled it pretty much because there are some things there that really I wrote them as if I wrote them for myself.
Yeah.
Reading now, being, oh God, I'm now getting what I wrote. Being right is not the point. The point is getting close and being intimate with each other and being safe. If we're constantly criticized, how safe do we feel? And even if you don't say anything but just think it, it really doesn't matter. It totally communicates. Just have to let go. Mother Teresa was so... she didn't have a judgment at all. She accepted people as they were. And it was measured. People did experiments, scientific experiments. She would walk into the room and the energy field of everyone's individual energy level would raise, regardless of whether they liked her. Even if they didn't like her or didn't know who she was, they still felt immediately lifted. There was no judgment. She took you for you and saw the light. Everyone has their own.
Do you use Byron Katie's turnaround technique in your work?
If it's appropriate. Not that often.
There.
That was the advance, yes. Sometimes, yes, but I think it's fabulous, it's brilliant, but you need to go deeper then after you've done it. Because there are things that are locked inside, that, not to criticize Byron Katie. Byron Katie is a genius. She's an awakening person. But yeah, sometimes I do. But then you will go further. Because there's something that pushes that particular behavior, and you can understand it, and you can know you're doing it, and you can even know why you're doing it. But you cannot stop. So what I do is I take you into all the state of consciousness where you are actually able to unlock it and release it. And it's not hypnosis. You're fully in charge. You can always open your eyes. But it really works. It happens. It's amazing. And every time in awe. I mean, I didn't invent it. But it works.
When you were talking about relationships and that we all have filters and the idea of wanting to be right, I was flashing on my relationship with my students.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one area where I feel, I don't know if I want to call it stuck, but I just feel like there's, it's not how I want it to be. And I know I'm right. I know that you need to study. I know, you know, I know all these things that, because mm-hmm. I was a student, and I know that that's what, that's, they all want to be successful. They say they mm-hmm. want to be successful, but they don't do it.
Nobody
they
changes
do.
Until they want to change.
I know, and so
if you're gonna try
every semester, it's the same story. And this semester, this particular semester, when I saw the same dynamic happening that happens to me every semester when I meet mm-hmm. a new group of students, I thought, I'm tired of this pattern.
That's the first step. Brilliant. Fabulous. You'll change.
But I'm wondering, like, somehow I have this idea that will mean that I won't care then.
Yes, you will care. You will care more because you won't judge them. You will have more kindness and more compassion, and you will inspire them. You know, to tell them that they need to study, they know it. It never helps anybody telling them what they already know. They have, right? Starting with us, they have to want to. Telling an alcoholic to stop drinking because you're killing yourself, he knows, he or she, never works. Something has to happen that they would want to for themselves. Read them stories, inspiring stories, of, you know, give them inspiration and be there for them. Try something different.
I do that, but yeah, I get it. Just
nothing changes until we do. There are teachers who have tremendous success. I used to teach also. I know it's a worn path and it's very easy to get tired and you want to give and they don't want to receive. It's a path to motherhood. A red open door, just feel misunderstood and unappreciated. And you are! But you can't go there. You just can't go there. Instead, you know, just find something a different way without. Just say, I am not right here because it's not working. You know, stay with this question. Ask for help. There's only one technique for everything. Ask for help. We have to be ready to receive it. Make sense or not? Yeah. Just kindness and inspire. Teaching is so challenging. Maybe they don't need to learn now. You know, maybe for them. They need to fail a few times. Mm-hmm. And then decide on their own, I want to go back to school. Who are we to know what the other person, how they should grow? We're not God or Goddess or their higher self. Or we just are sure we're right. Which is a red flag. Immediately. Have compassion for yourself. How hard it is. Kind to yourself. We always treat others the way we treat the way we treat ourselves. Can't be kind to others if you're unkind to yourself. Impossible. So it always starts with this. Nothing changes until we do. So simple. Huh? So not simple. Did it answer something or not?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, what else? Who else? Oh, come on. Do speak. I've been speaking for almost an hour.
I don't know how to put this as a question exactly, so I'm going to just fumble around, if
mm-hmm.
that's okay.
Sure.
You were, early on, you said something about remorse and mm-hmm. you know, how resistant people are to it.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember that. I remember when I worked so hard not to feel something was my fault. And then I remember, I don't really remember exactly when, but at some point that changed. And now I find that often I feel remorse. And I've developed kind of a taste for it.
Because it's real.
Because it's real and because it leads to shifts.
Of course, it will. You won't. You. It will lift you eventually.
Yeah, it just.
But you have
it,
to go through.
So it's like now I really welcome it because it means something icky is going to get less icky pretty quickly, and it always ushers in some kind of fresh air and possibility.
Always.
It's wonderful.
How beautiful! Thank you so much for sharing. The reason. My understanding is the reason people are afraid to feel remorse because they are afraid to admit that maybe they did something wrong. They know it, but not thinking about it, not feeling it, somehow going on, let's put a bandage over that. Now it's festering, now it's really festering, now there's pause, now it's killing me. I'm not going to look at it. But if we can extend kindness to other people, they say, I'm really sorry, and very most of the time you feel very happy that they said it. And you forgive them, right? If they genuinely are sorry. Why not to ourselves? But you can't really forgive yourself without really knowing what you're forgiving. Without really feeling it. So to feel that, what is remorse? Feeling really sorry for the things that I did. I did. I cannot change them. Cannot be undone. There were consequences. There was impact. And it's too late to change that. But if I feel it, because you did not forget it. Don't kid yourself. People say, I don't want to work with forgiveness because I don't want to remember. Nobody forgot a thing. Mm-hmm. Scratch the surface. It's right there. Go back to experience you were 3 or 6 if it was very painful. And you start going back. And it's as if it happened an hour ago. It's that sharp. Don't have to believe me. Just try it. It's absolutely that painful. So nobody forgot. It just kind of blocked it. But you start feeling it, and so the tears will flow, and it will wash it away. And you get to peace, and you get to real ability to let go. What is forgiveness? It's just letting go. And then you have to repeat it. Otherwise, very often they repeat it. So if that is interesting, and the intriguing. Come one of these evenings and give me your name. I will send you more information. Pick up them with my cards, the little flyer. And so there's so much. This is really, we're just kind of hopping as we can in the format that we have. But it's very fast now, changes. It doesn't have to be forever until I get through. Sometimes you just see what it is and it unlocks it and everything starts. Everything changes then. It's just having an open heart and willingness. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we're done, yeah?
Thank you so much. It's always wonderful to have you here.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you for coming tonight. Most of you have heard this before, but there's a donation bowl on the counter. Any amount that you can contribute will be gratefully received. A portion goes to our speaker to support her work.
The only store that does it, by the way.
I know.
It's unbelievable. First time I was so shocked.
And a portion goes to us so we can continue to hold events here. And the books are over there. And thanks. We'll see you the rest of the month. Please come to our 8th anniversary. Thank you.
It's 7:30.